الله الله أكبر، سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. الشيخة تيمية، سبحان الله، what an honor to have you. بارك الله فيك. ما شاء الله، so nice to see everyone. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. Oh, you're so calm. You're so kind. May Allah bless you. هدى، ما شاء الله. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، such a blessing to have all of you here. اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. Aisha, you love my salams. You're so sweet. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's so good to see your name. May Allah bless all of you. Oh, mashallah, Qariya Shayma, tabarak Allah. Mashallah. For those of you who didn't catch Qariya Shayma's recitation, mashallah, go to Instagram TV. Her and Sheikha Taymiya, who are honoring us with their presence today, mashallah, their recitations are incredible. As all of the women, alhamdulillah, who have recited, it's just been such a gift to hear their recitations, mashallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. While we wait for our, you have 11 p.m. and you've been waiting? Well, mashallah, it is such a gift and a blessing to have you. Alhamdulillah. Sada Fatima is your son's teacher. Wow, mashallah. Sheikha Taymiya's son's teacher is Ustada Fatima. What an honor. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at how the world of Quran, it just comes together. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Oh, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Mashallah. So, while we... Oh, from France! Mashallah, what a gift to have you from France! While we wait, inshallah. Wow, 1 a.m. Where do you live? Wow, mashallah. That is so middle of the night. Oh, may Allah bless you. Another 1 a.m. Where do you live? Mashallah. Morocco. Mashallah. May Allah bless you. All of you, such an honor and a blessing to have you all. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so while we wait for our beloved Ustada to attend, to join us, inshallah, why don't we have a conversation from Egypt? Mashallah, anti Masriya. Wow, Australia, Germany, Nigeria, mashallah. That is incredible. Netherlands, Tabarak Allah, look at this ummah. What a may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you. Cambodia, tabarakallah, wow, incredible. Canada, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, our beloved Ustada is here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malaysia, Singapore, Fajr time, Turkey, Medina, la ilaha illallah. Everyone ask Zainab to make dua for us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What an honor to see you.
How are Alhamdulillah, you? Jazakallah khair for having me. Thank you so much.
The other way around. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jazakallah khairan for joining us. Alhamdulillah. It's such an honor to have Hafiza and Ustada Fatima with us today.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Guys, the whole Quran. Mashallah. Gaza in Hafsana Asim. Mashallah. She is a Quran teacher. This person that we want to hear your journey from.
Inshallah. Let's hear
about your journey. Mashallah. There are people from Tabarakallah all over the world.
Mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Thank you so much for joining.
Seriously, thank you all so much for coming to hear about the journey of Ustada Fatima to the Quran, to hear her recitation, to hear her advice. We can't wait to hear you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. Bismillah, please go for it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So shall I start with recitation or shall I start with the...
Yes, we would love to begin with recitation.
All right, inshallah. Khalas. Sounds good. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Pardon?
Can you tell us where you're going to recite from?
So I'm going to recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah. I have a lot of favorite surahs, but Surah Waqi'ah is one of my favorites. So I figured this would be, it would be a good one to start with, inshallah.
Definitely, inshallah. Okay, so if anyone wants to follow along with the translation, this is Surah Al-Waqi'ah.
Inshallah, inshallah. All right, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين. I think I'll stop there, inshallah.
Inshallah, your recitation is beautiful.
Jazakallah khair.
What's the waqi'ah recited with that tone before? Do you listen to a particular reciter and copy that reciter? Did you come up with this tone through your own recitation?
I don't know. I feel like it's a mixture. I wouldn't say I copied a reciter. I mean, granted, I've like been to Al-Huda my whole life. So it's probably inspired by a lot of the Al-Huda recitation. I think it sounds very similar. But at the same time, I think, I don't know, maybe I have my own splash to it.
So beautiful.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair.
It felt like it hit the center of my soul.
MashaAllah.
Barakallah. How did the journey of the Quran? Why?
Okay, inshallah. Okay, so one thing I want to comment. Sometimes I don't hear you. Like sometimes, like I do, but it's like delayed or sometimes it pauses. So I'm not so just for, oh. Awkward. Sorry, give me like 1 second. Allahumma salli. Okay, 1 second, 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, so the lighting, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is not going to
be, but that's okay. Life goes on.
Bella, here okay. We go.
Okay, so journey of the Quran. How did it start? It's kind, I mean, it is a long story. Inshallah, we have time. But I guess I'll start with how it started when I was younger. It sounds kind of like it's not related. But when I kind of reflect and I think about like how it came about, I do feel like it kind of made a big difference. So to start off, I feel like my parents, my dad is a, you know, born Muslim, and my mom is a convert. And so one thing I do remember is that growing up, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, I learned Quran in school, right? There was like the basics of like, you know, going to Islamic school, and then I would recite Quran, and then I would also like I learned Tajweed and like kind of like small surahs and basic things like that. One thing I do remember though was when my mom started studying the Quran, she was learning tafsir, and she started with one of the teachers in Al Huda, and then eventually they brought the institute here and she started learning. And the one memory that I have that was very clear was the fact that, you know, when she would study the Quran, or all the sisters that she was with studying the Quran, it was always like a positive experience. So it was always like, whoa, you know, I love this. This is so amazing. And, you know, like she used to go to the hostels a lot to study with the sisters there. And every single one of them had that same experience that, oh my God, you know, it's so amazing to study the Quran. It's so beautiful to understand it. And so I do think that that memory had an impact on me, you know, that like, oh, okay, like it's fun to study the Quran. Like it must be so amazing to like understand it. I did learn the Quran growing up, and it was part of the household, but I don't feel like it was pushed down on me. There was never a point where I felt like, okay, you know, like I don't want to do this anymore, or like, you know, you're being too pushy. You know, there was even a point where I would say like, you know, you don't really read the Quran that much, you're kind of distracted as a kid or whatever. Fast forward. But I did learn, like, as I said, Tajweed and small surahs and things like that. Now, fast forward, I was 13 and I was in a masjid with, they used to have like programs, like martial arts programs and things like that. So one of my mom's friends actually asked me, she was like, you know, Al-Huda, they have a hifz program. Do you want to join it? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like I definitely want to join. And so my biggest thing though, was that I never, ever intended to memorize the Quran. Like that was never my intention. But I always wanted to study it. Like whenever I thought about my life plan or like things like that, and I would break it down, I always thought like, okay, you know, I'll finish high school and then I'll study like the Quran. And my intention was always like ta'alim al-Quran. Like I want to understand it. But I never intended to memorize it. But for me, she just said like, do you want to study it? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to go, you know? And so anyways, I joined the Hifz program, it's very different than ta'aleem. So ta'aleem is a lot more, you know, there's tafsir, there's Arabic. In a sense, it's more, it's different. It's different from memorization. I don't want to say it's any better or worse. It's just different. And depending on who you are, it's going to impact you differently. So that's how it started. And then I really loved memorizing the Quran. The thing is, I really loved studying the Quran. Now, the thing is, everyone in that class at the time took ta'alim al-Quran before. So all of the sisters that were in my class, they took ta'alim al-Quran before. Me, on the other hand, I was familiar with recitation of the Quran. I memorized a couple of surahs. Actually, I memorized I memorized the whole Juz Amma at this point, because when I was younger, I did memorize it. But I remember specifically, because I wasn't reviewing, I forgot like almost all of it, you know? And it was so embarrassing, because when I went to do the interview, Sister Farhat Hashmi, she was asking me like certain surahs. She asked me like, can you recite from Surah A'la? And I was like, no, it was so embarrassing. Because I was like, and I remember like, I remember when me and my mom walked out, my mom was like, you memorized those surahs, what do you mean? I was like, So, but nonetheless, because it was something that I memorized already, once I joined the class and it was easy to rememorize. Like I was like memorizing surahs within a few days because Jazama was something that I did already a long time ago. So nonetheless, I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? Joining the Hafsat. Right. Okay. So my classmates all did Ta'lim al-Quran. That being said, I was familiar with recitation of the Quran and somewhat memorizing small surahs. But I didn't understand the Quran at all. Not even wa. Like not even one letter. I did not understand. So they would be like discussing certain things like, you know, whenever something would be hard, the teacher or like the classmates, they would discuss with each other, oh, you know, they're talking about this and that. And I would just like be like, that makes no difference to me because I don't understand anything. But because of that, it was a lot easier for them to memorize the Quran. So they were kind of like flowing through it and like going really fast. Whereas for me, it was so difficult like to memorize. I remember like sitting down for like so many hours trying to memorize this page, and I would come to school consistently. And I remember when I came, they already started the Hifz program and they did up till Surah Nisa. So the first day that I came was the first time they were doing Surah Nisa. So, and the teacher wanted us all to be together. So she was like, you know, you can memorize Surah Nisa with us. And I was like, okay, good. So I tried memorizing Surah Nisa, and I remember every single day I could never come with a full page. I could only come with like half a page at best, or like, and I really wanted to do it. The thing was, I sucked. Like I sucked at memorizing, but I genuinely wanted to do it. So it was like so sad because I was like working so hard and I would spend so many hours and I couldn't memorize it. So I'd come, and then mashallah, my teacher at the time, she was so nice. And I had two teachers, one for like 3 years and then the other for a few months. And I learned different things from them. But for the first one, mashallah, she was so nice. And like emotionally, she gave me exactly what I needed. She was so, she was really patient with me. And she would always say like these really kind, encouraging words, mashallah. So nonetheless, sorry. Can you guys hear me?
I'm so sorry. Okay. My internet. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Alhamdulillah. So yeah, I was memorizing like half page here, half page there, half page here, half page there. And it went like that through the whole surah. So essentially, I didn't really memorize. Like I memorized bits and pieces of Surah Nisa. And then I was just like, oh, can we like, and we kind of went back and forth on like, can I please do half a page and, you know, start from Surah Baqarah? And then, you know, initially she kind of said yes. And then, you know, I don't know what happened. She made a decision, no, like you should be with the whole class. So, you know, that was a thing. And then eventually, I don't know if I got through most of Surah Nisa like that or just, or all of it, but I definitely reached like close to the end, just like bits and pieces here and there. Then eventually I started from Surah Baqarah and I started going at my own pace. You know, I started just doing the half page, and then until eventually I built up my resistance and I was able to do one whole page. And funny thing is, by the time, oh, and another thing, there's two things. Sorry, I'm like all over the place because there's so many things that happened. And it's like I'm remembering here and there. But one thing is that my teacher told me like right away, she's like, I want you to do it with the translation. And so initially it was very difficult that I was doing word by word translation and memorization. But at the same time, once I got the hang of it, it was so nice. Like it was so nice to recite the Quran or listen to the Quran and be able to understand it. Like it was like building your connection with it was like amazing. So that was like, it was harder, but I enjoyed it. And long-term, it made it so much easier to memorize. Like initially, because you're juggling a couple of things, it was kind of difficult. But after a while, it was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. You know what I mean? And I don't know how I would be able to connect to the verses if I didn't understand it. Like, and when I didn't understand, there were so many things that I was mixing. My teacher would be like, oh, whoa, you know, and I would be like, okay, like, I don't get it. The whole class would be like, oh my God, what did she say? So that was one thing. But yeah, I was really appreciative of that. But like, and it was so nice to, see my progress, because I remember with every jizz you would do a translation test, and I still have them now. When I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, you know, the first one, like, I sucked, but with every test I went up like a couple marks, and then by the end of it I almost had everything, you know. So it was like, oh, that's so nice, like, to see, like, when you first do that test and you see so many red marks, you feel kind of sad, and everybody else is like getting everything else. But then, like, now that I'm looking back, I'm like, oh my God, that's so nice. Like, I made progress.
Journey, yes, exactly.
Mashallah. So that was that. So going back to what I was saying earlier, so I started memorizing Surah Baqarah, and then from there I kind of went on my own pace. That being said, when I got to Surah Nisa to memorize it, it's now one of my best surahs.
Allahu Akbar.
So, you know, initially it's like, you know, everyone is so much better than me and I suck at memorizing. And later on, that became one of my best surahs because of the fact that I did it once, even though it was like not good. And then I redid it later on, right? Because I was listening to it so much, I was practicing it so much. So it was actually beneficial. So anyways, there's so much within the journey, but I guess that would be like the start, you know, that's how I kind of like started.
So you have like really important point. And I'm going to go backwards. So you just progress. Multiple times through your story, you were talking about, like, you know, you feeling like you suck, going faster, and you just didn't understand what going. Like, a lot of us start and we can't do the half a page. We start a verse every few weeks.
Yeah.
What caused you to just keep going and realize that the more that you work, the better you improve? Like, what fueled that mindset for you?
Okay, so two things. One, as I said, my goal wasn't to memorize the Quran, it was just to learn it. So I just, like, I loved being there. I loved the process. You know what I mean? Like, I loved it. That was one. But two, honestly, if it were up to me, I swear to God, I would have not finished. It was, number one, by Allah's mercy, but also, two, by the encouraging sisters. Like, my teacher, when I tell you, like, I would cry so much, and she would always be like, no, it's okay, you can do it, you know? And then even, like, and the sisters in my hifz class, too, they weren't all my age. They were actually, like, a mixture. It's like, some of my classmates were there with their moms, right? Oh, wow. So it was, like, a group of, like, you know, some are teens and some are adults and stuff, and they would give me such really good advice, you know what I mean? They would always, like, encourage me, like, every time I was down and I was sad, they would be like, no, you can do it. Because I kid you not, in my confidence, like, at that time, and, you know, I mean, I still have issues in certain areas, but for Quran, I definitely didn't think I could do it. And I remember so many times where I thought to myself, I'm definitely going to give up. I need to give up. I cannot do this. So many times, like, consistently, you know what I mean? So definitely Allah's help. That's always number one, but also the advice of the sisters around me. That was so helpful. So helpful. Like, and the funny thing is, I don't even remember what they told me majority of the time, but I remember how I felt, and I remember them advising me, even though I don't remember what they said, but at the moment it helped me. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Great segue to the next question. You talked about the emotional experience of being a child and seeing your mom do Quran. Talking about when you wanted to quit multiple times, you had the support, which even if you don't remember what they were saying, emotionally lifted.
Right.
Feel like emotions factor into the or the journey of Quran, because sometimes people start memorizing the Quran and then they go through depression unrelated to the depression, or they're going through the Quran and they go through a very difficult relationship, like maybe with a parent or a child or a spouse. Yeah. And they're emotionally so hurt. Like, how do you think you're giving us amazingly positive emotional attachment? Yeah. And how does
it build that? Whew, man, that is a very difficult question to answer. And I don't know. I think there are so many ways that you can approach this. And also, it depends on the person's life, because as much as, like, I can tell you from my point of view what I think or what would help me for sure, or what has helped me for sure, but based on someone else's life, it might be different. I know that number one, for me personally, like, because I did go through a lot of difficulties during that time, like just outside of Quran, like personally. And, but for me, I don't know, like Quran was like my runaway. Like it was like, you know, fafirru ilallah. I felt like that was like the peace in my problems. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like for me, that was like the best part of my life, the Quran. Like it was like, so like, obviously I'll give advice to those who are growing their relationship. But for me, it was like, I really loved it. You know, I loved being in the environment. You know what I mean? It was like a bunch of sisters. Every time you walk in, so many sisters are saying salam to you. And everyone who was memorizing the Quran at the time wanted to do it. Like, it was like, because like, okay, growing up in like Quran school, you know what I mean? You go to like regular Islamic school. During Quran class, a lot of the kids are like, oh, we have to do Quran now. You know, it's like this kind of like, oh, negative. So it was actually my first time experiencing a bunch of sisters together studying Quran that actually wanted to do it. So for me, that was like, oh, that's really cool. Like everyone that's here actually wants to be here. And like later on, obviously, as you know, like it grew and stuff like that, there were a lot of sisters that came in that didn't want to be there. Their parents forced them or whatever. But initially when it started, it was just so different, you know? So for me, I loved it. Like I really loved it. You know, I would stay in school late, you know, because I just liked to be there. So, you know, that's me. As for other people, the thing with Quran that I would advise, number one, is understanding it. I think that's key. I think that memorization is for those who, you know, want it and who really want, because memorization requires a lot of hard work. You know, it's really, you just have to work hard. It's not about skill. You know, there are people who have skill that memorize the Quran, and if they have skill and work hard, they're flying. That's amazing. But in general, even if you're horrible, like I was, and I guarantee you I was, if you work hard, you can do it, right? So really, the base of Quran is like working hard and also consistency. But when it comes to studying the Quran, I think that, you know, sisters should definitely build their connection with it, understand it. You know what I mean? Understand, like, what is this kalam of Allah? What is, you know, what are these ayat talking about? When you build your connection with the Quran and you see how beautiful it is, I don't see how you would not want to study it. Like, I genuinely don't understand. Like, if you actually, you know, I feel like your connection will build naturally, you know. And if not, even if it doesn't, I would say, you know, just make your intention that you're trying to do something to become closer to Allah and ask Allah to open up your heart towards it, you know. And for me, a big part of anything, I would say my Quran journey, but just anything in my life, if I need help, is asking Allah. Like, ask Allah to help you in whatever. And you know, even like, for example, if I feel like my iman is really low, I'll be like, you know what, Ya Allah, this is how I feel, you know, increase my iman, or you know, I want to do this, but at the same time, I'm struggling with, you know, XYZ. So help me to do this, or open up my heart towards this, or put mercy in my heart towards this. You know what I mean? So it's a constant, because there are some times where, you know, maybe you don't feel that connection, or maybe you don't feel, you know, that like it's this like amazing experience. So ask Allah to put it in your heart, you know, ask Allah that, you know what, I don't feel this connection to the Quran, but I want to do it to please you. So put the love of the Quran in my heart. You know what I mean? And even if you do have that love, you still have to constantly ask Allah for it, because you don't know, He might take it away. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of a continuous journey of like asking Allah. For me, that's like key, you know, asking Allah for help, because without Him, you can't do nothing. You know what I mean? And like, I'll say this again, like, if it was really up to me, I wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? It's really Allah's mercy, if you think about it. Like, it's Allah's like choice that He did that. So you really have to ask Him, you know. So that would be my advice, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and to open up your heart, and also learn the meaning and just build your connection with the Quran.
SubhanAllah. So you just talked about one of the things that you talked about was
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you please repeat that? Maybe
I don't know what.
No worries.
Are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you now. Perfect.
I also have no idea why when I did that everything stopped. I am so sorry.
No worries. No worries.
So you talked about using a translation to help you understand through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back now, and you can like look at your understanding and how it increased over time. One of the things that people talk about when they don't understand Arabic is how they struggle with connecting to the Quran, like in Tarawih, when they've been praying for hours and it's all in Arabic. How did memorizing, and not necessarily, like, it's not like you were studying in Egypt and you were surrounded by Arabic and everything was
Yeah.
I'm not reading a translation. And with that, over time, you got to understand the meaning. Like, how would you say that works for someone who's trying to understand the Quran's meaning, even if they are not a full-time Arabic student?
I might have to ask you to repeat the question because there's two points that I wanted to bring. I totally got your question, by the way. It's just my you're good. It's just I have two points. Number one, I just wanted to clarify that even though I was doing word by word translation, I was also very familiar with tafsir because they had multiple classes in Al-Huda and I had friends in the tafsir classes, and almost every day, and I have specific friends I remember, I would go to my friend and be like, hey, what did you guys talk about? So she would share with me what they learned, and I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. Because I was always like, you know, I really want to take Ta'lim al-Quran. Like, I really want to do it. So I was always like, every chance I could get, I would listen to the tafsir. Whether it was I had free time, so let me go sit inside the tafsir class just as a listener. Or I would ask my friend when she was done to explain to me. So word by word translation, I think it's very helpful, but it's also very limited, right? Whereas when my friend would come explain it to me, it was like, oh man, that's so beautiful. So that really also helped build my connection with Allah and also helped me build great friends. So that was a key thing, that every time I had a chance, I would listen to the tafsir every time. And so with that, I had like a kind of tafsir background, not for every single part of the Quran, but for a big chunk of it. And like, for example, when we had March break, they were still doing Ta'lim al-Quran. So I actually came for the March break for the whole of Surah Yusuf. So there are some surahs that I was from, and when I would have free time, I would like listen to the tafsir. So that helps a lot, because word by word translation is, it's great for, you know, some things, but at the same time, when you listen to kind of the background of why ayat were revealed, or, you know, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said certain things, or the detail of like the words, it's like, oh, it's totally different. And so that helps a lot. So what exactly was your question? I just wanted to clarify that.
That actually, I think, answers the question.
Okay.
Who is like trying to really build a general understanding of Quran, is there a specific resource of tafsir that you recommend? You're talking about going through Al-Huda Institute. How can people like study with Al-Huda, or are there like certain, I know we did a session with Sheikh Al-Taymiyyah who talked about Al-Huda. But like, because we're talking about what to listen to, like, is there a particular tafsir that you recommend listening to?
Yeah, absolutely. So she has actually the whole Quran in tafsir on the Al-Huda website. And I can't remember what it is. I just have the link saved somewhere and I just always click back on it. But it's old. It's like, I think 2010, like my mom was in that class. So I hear her voice sometimes in the recordings. it's just on the website, and she has like, she has a detailed tafsir. I think that one is in 2010. And then she has a brief one, which is, I think is in 2012. I would have to go back and double check. Something that I'll go back to, you know, whenever I'm like looking for tafsir and things like that. And then of course you can read up on Ibn Kathir and things like that.
Okay, jazakallah khairan. So much of your journey, you already wanted to know Quran. It was like something, it wasn't memorization. You wanted to know it, you wanted to study it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Sounds like that was from childhood. And you just felt like, mashallah, like, you know, happy memories connected to this. From childhood.
Yeah.
What was it about your mom? About what you saw in the parental state, or like the adults around you from childhood, that you that inculcated that love inside of you? Because I've never heard someone talk about their journey like this, like from the time I wanted to start the Quran. Like,
The thing is, I don't want to, how do I say this? I don't want to make it sound like I always, like I do remember having memories, like as a kid, where I didn't want to read the Quran. I do remember having that, but it wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't like a strong, like hate for the Quran. It was more of like, I'm kind of lazy and I don't feel like doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was kind of it. You know, and then, but I was always in like Quran classes and stuff like that. But I think honestly, just like seeing adult, and it's funny because, you know, we're in a society where we say like, oh, if I do something and it doesn't affect you, why do you care? Right. But it's funny because just the image of seeing people who love studying the Quran, that was enough to make me think that, okay, I want to do that someday. Do you know what I mean? Like
being modeled for you.
That's yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and it didn't even hit me right away though. That's the thing. Like, cause when I was, when, you know, they were studying Quran, I was how old? Maybe like 7. And then by the time I had the opportunity, it was like 13. So there was like, I mean, maybe a small gap for some people, but for me, it was like kind of a big gap-ish. Do you know what I mean? Of like, you know, going through like whatever phases that you go through. So yeah.
So that's, oh, yeah. That's actually very powerful because you're talking about role modeling the Quran. And you were, which is an institute of women and women reciting Quran.
Yeah.
This like whole discussion that we have a lot of times on Instagram lives with other women who've memorized and are reciters are different, like modeling that and the importance of that for daughters and for sons.
Yeah. 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 100%.
What advice would you give to a mother, to a woman who's not a mother who wants to help create that kind of culture for people in their lives and like have, you know, this like love for the Quran, but they haven't memorized it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just thinking about this journey. Like what advice do you have?
Okay. I think every question that you ask me, I'm going to say the same thing. And just like anyone who's close to me knows this, every time somebody asks me something, I'm like, well, there's two sides, but I think I'll give like some general advice from whatever I've experienced or from whatever I've seen. Definitely create good memories with the Quran. Like create good memories with the Quran. You know, whether it's because like, you know, there are some people who say like, oh, I love the Quran, but like they're never reading it. Or I love the Quran and they're never talking about it. Or I love the Quran and just never like, just it's a ghost. Like Quran is a ghost. It's a ghost. You love it. I don't know. Whereas I think it's very important to create good memories with the Quran. And like every time you know, talk about the Quran, it should be like something great or like, oh, look how amazing this ayah is, you know, or, you know, every moment can be like a moment of reflection. Like, I think that's like key, you know, that like, even when you're like driving and you see something like, oh, you know, mashallah, the Quran says this about, you know, this situation, you know, like just good memories with the Quran and don't punish your kids with it. You know, don't be like, oh, you're in trouble. Go read the Quran. No, it's like, make it something good, you know, that, oh my God, guess what? If we do this, or if you do this and you memorize like 3 surahs, we're going to go to this place. Oh my God, really? They have this like good memory with the Quran. That's definitely what I would do. And like, as I said, build their connection, you know, and it doesn't have to be at the same level that you're understanding it. You know, if you're studying complicated tafsir, you can break it down for the kids in small ways. You know what I mean? And like, you know, let them understand it on their level, in their like, you know, in their language. Do you know what I mean? But I would definitely say that, you know, and just like, really make the Quran a part of like your daily life and a part of good memories. I think that's a huge one. You know what I mean? Don't, because if people are associating Quran with like bad memories and you know, I'm getting in trouble, Quran, like it's very unlikely that somebody's going to go back to it. Like that's something that they left once they became an adult. Like I'm trying to like live my life now. You know what I mean? Whereas if you associate it with good memories, it might be possible that somebody will go off the path for a while, but they'll probably come back to it. Do you know what I mean? So that's, and man, there are so many things I would say. It's hard because it, and depending on like who it is, like everyone has a different situation that you'd want to address. Right. But I feel like to make it simple, that's what I would say.
Okay. What about someone who doesn't have that environment? Maybe someone who's a convert, who's the only person in their family, who is Muslim, maybe some part of a Muslim family, but who's maybe within their family, like discouraged to even open the Quran, or it's just not part of the culture. Mm-hmm. Maybe they live in a city where there's not even a masjid. Maybe they're mm-hmm. someone who lives alone. Like, how do you create that feeling when you don't even have people around you who are around Quran? How do you create it for yourself?
As I said, dua is key. I'm not joking. Half my life is dua. Okay, dua is key. When they say dua is the weapon of the believer, it's not a joke. It really is. Like, I can't think of anything that I've done in my life that did not happen without dua. So number one, ask Allah to help, whether it's because, ya Allah, you know, I'm the only one that, you know, wants to do this and no one around me, it's very difficult, but, you know, facilitate it for me. Or whether it's, ya Allah, surround me with good people who will, you know, be with me and part of this journey. Or, you know, ya Allah, you know, facilitate a way for me. Like, dua, and for me, dua is key. Right? And then try your best. You know what I mean? Like, whatever resources you can do, whether it's, you know, watching Norman Ali Khan, you know, maybe it's a small step. You know what I mean? But dua number one, and then try your best. You know, whatever, in whatever way you can try your best. And those two combined, inshallah, you'll get somewhere for sure. For sure. And when you do find sisters that are doing something that you want to do, or, you know, try to find sisters that are doing something that you want to do, keep in touch with them. Do you know what I mean? But otherwise, Allah is your best friend. At the end of the day, you know, even with a community of, you know, sisters who love the Quran, they're not always going to be there for you. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to be alone when you live. Like, when you're going to be alone when you die. And there's going to be certain times in your life where you're going to be alone. Like, it's happened to me before. Just because I had that certain situation where I was going to school with a bunch of sisters that wanted to study Quran, after a while, I moved and I went to a place where, you know, people were not connected to the Quran. And that was heartbreaking. Okay. And that busted my bubble, because guess what? I realized that I was living in a bubble. And when you go outside of that bubble, you realize that, okay, there's a real world out there of people who are not connected to the Quran at all. You know, I met Muslim sisters who, you know, were Muslim their whole life. You know, they're like old and they didn't even know how to read the Quran. Right. And so you will not, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, you will not always have a good community around you. And that's just fact. That's just life. Do you know what I mean? But you know, and as much as, you know, you want to try your best to put yourself in the best situation that's going to enable you to thrive, but sometimes it's just not the case. And it might be that consistently it's like that for everybody, or it might be stages of your life that it's like that, right? And you just have to do your best to stay connected, even if it might not be as ideal as you want it to be. So that's my advice, because really, and I've had that time where, you know, I've been alone. I've moved to certain places where, you know, you don't have that community of sisters memorizing Quran and loving Quran. You know, I've been to Quran classes where, like, they would recite one page and then just talk the rest of the time. I was like, what is this? Like, so it wasn't like, you know, so then you have to kind of find ways to, like, I don't want to say increase your own iman, but you kind of have to try, you know? And in that time, remember, Allah is your best friend, and tahajjud. Tahajjud, man. Tahajjud is going to help you get through those hard times. So yeah, that's what I would say. And you know, whatever steps you can take, as I said, you know, do your best. So if you can try your best to find even one sister, then just stick to that sister. Or if you can try your best, like I, for example, there were certain things that I was looking to be motivated by, whether it's like business or whatever. And I didn't have, you know, people around me who were doing that kind of stuff. So I just followed a bunch of people on Instagram who were doing exactly what I wanted to do. And so you could do the same thing with Quran. You know what I mean? You have, maybe in your situation or your area, you don't have people who are doing that kind of stuff. Guess what? We have online now, and you can use it for good or evil. So find sisters who are doing some kind of good and just follow them and unfollow everyone else that's doing stuff that you don't want to be doing. You know what I mean? That way you can kind of feed yourself, you know, that reminder of like, okay, this sister is doing that. Okay, great. This sister is doing that. Okay, great. You know what I mean?
SubhanAllah, that's so beautiful. Community now where we can't with people come to the you did your journey earlier, but is there more to your journey that you can share with us? Because you actually have an ijazah, not completing the memorization.
Yes. So I did that in Saudi. I was in Saudi with my husband for like a few years, for 3 years. And during that time, there was a teacher. I can't remember if she was, I think she was Yemeni. But nonetheless, you know, my husband was like, you know, she's giving out ijazah. You know, why don't you learn from her? So I started learning from her. And that was another situation. It was great. Mashallah, it was fun. I loved it. But it also reached a point where I was like, man, I can't do this. It's hard. And alhamdulillah, you know, I got through it. You just kind of push through. And I did reach a point where I kind of like, I was like going here and then I kind of slacked. And then she was like, no, I'm leaving at a certain point. So if you want to finish, you're going to have to finish. And then I worked hard. Like I remember like working so hard at that point. Another point where I was like, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to give up. And you know, alhamdulillah, like I did it. Like
I love so many times where you think you're not going to make it and you still do. That's so relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It was never like, I don't know. I feel like I'm never the kind of person that's always like, oh yeah, this is easy. I'm going to know. Like, no, that was not me. That was probably someone else.
So were there ever times that you felt overwhelmed with like self-doubt? Sounds like you're like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do it. Like, how do you overcome those self-doubts?
Honestly, I don't know, man. You just got to keep trying. Like, besides, you know, asking Allah for help, which, you know, will always be my number one advice, but also like having, you know, people around me who are going to tell me, no, you can do it. Like at that time it was my husband. But yeah, man, I don't even know sometimes. I don't know.
Feel that like all of us go to the Quran for our own insecurities and our own pain and shame and everything, and then we open it and we're like, this is a book of healing, and we want it to heal, and then sometimes our own doubts and insecurities kind of like muddle that process, and we start thinking, you know, I remember once I was talking to a Quran teacher, and I was telling her I was having a lot of surah, and I was like, having so much trouble, and she was like, what sins have you been committing lately? And I was have to be completely honest. Like, I'm going to tell you completely honestly, like,
yeah,
of course I'm probably committing a sin I don't know about, but I'm not something. I've never done as much dhikr ever in my life as I'm doing now. Like, if there's ever been a time in my life that I'm on top of my worship more than ever before, it's right now. But kind of sat with me and she's like, I don't know what to say. And I went and I spoke to a different Quran teacher, mashallah. And she was like, what do you have going on in your life? And I was like, well, this is happening. This is happening. Like, your soul is just tired. And you just, I was like, subhanAllah, not my I'm tired. How do you be tired? And that was because
I
had a conversation of you're not doing good with Quran because you're sinning, or you're not doing good with Quran. Not praying enough, when it's like human and you have your own self-doubts and exhaustion.
Man, honestly, it's a mix of both, because as a teacher, I am not gonna lie, and I was shocked when I found this out, but I have seen how sin can impact somebody's Quran, and like that is a real thing, you know what I mean? So and obviously, because you don't see the state of people's hearts, you can't make a judgment, but you know, there were situations where I've seen like, oh my God, why is it such a difficult task, you know, to teach this person Quran? And then later on down the line, you realize there was something that was a barrier. And so that's definitely a real thing. But also it's true that some people, you know, they have, you know, sincere intentions and they're, you know, they're not doing something wrong and it's just difficult. And everybody struggles with something. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not... Man, everyone has a struggle with something. For some people, it's Quran. For some people, it's hijab. For some people, it's salah. You know, there's, and at the end of the day, that's what's going to make your good deed, like, you know, weighty, right? The fact that, like, you know, some things you struggle with, and Allah's testing to see if you're going to be consistent. Allah's testing to see, are you going to stick with it, or are you just, you know, talking? You know, are you just saying that you love the Quran, or are you going to really try, right?
SubhanAllah, and it's a purification process. You know, yeah. Like, matter like what, like, are we intentionally go to the Quran, the more it purifies us and helps us become better people. Because a lot of people say like, oh man, like look at my lifestyle, I'm not ready, I'm not, like I'm nowhere near the Quran will help your life.
Yeah. No, and for sure. And think of, and I, continue. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
No, one thing I always think of is follow up a good deed with a bad deed. I mean, sorry. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed. Because I think a lot of people.
I thought it was wrong until you said it. Oh, yeah.
Bad advice. No, because I've seen people who have, you know, committed, you know, certain sins, and they've really gone far because of one thing. And that one thing was enough to kind of push them away to just, you know, go so far. And for me, it was like, wow, now I understand why Allah says follow up a bad deed with a good deed. Because even if you've done something wrong, it's like you have a gateway to come back. You know, Allah is giving you a chance to come back, you know, like it's okay. You know what I mean? Whereas if you allow that kind of sin to just take over and like, oh, like, it's okay, I'm not good enough. Oh, that's going to take you. That's what Shaitan wants, man. Like, that's his goal. His goal is to take you away, right? And so if you commit a sin and you come back and do a good deed, like, that's the opposite of what he wants. And like, there's so much hikmah in it, really. Like, just come back to Allah. Because, and then doing that good deed is going to give you a little bit more hope. You know what I mean? It's going to bring you a little bit more closer. But yeah, you can continue what you're saying.
No, we only have about left, and I was wondering, and with you giving just any advice you have and sharing a little more recitation for us.
Inshallah. Okay. Any advice? Just build your connection with the Quran, however it is. If that means you're going to recite a little bit every single day, if that means you're going to listen to lectures regarding certain surahs, but build your attachment with the Quran. Like, it will give you the answers to life. That's definitely my advice. And it doesn't, like, everyone's going to be different. Everyone has like a little, you know, whatever their life is, but I would definitely say build your connection with the Quran any way that you can. And if you can't, if you don't already have it in your heart, ask Allah to put it in your heart. That's my number one advice. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
Beautiful. No, and I think it answers the question, how do you force yourself to love the Quran? You know, it's not about forcing yourself. It's about a relationship, right? You're building,
yeah,
like you just said.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
The process to build that in all the different ways you suggested in this live. You've talked about memorizing, understanding, listening to tafsir, praying to hajj, dua, like all these things come together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And can you please recite for us again?
Inshallah. Okay, khalas. We'll end with, I guess I'll continue from where I left off.
Sure.
Inshallah. And well, then
the ayah number that you left for people who want to follow along.
Inshallah. How many minutes do we have left?
Like six, and then okay. A minute with your
okay. Inshallah. Sounds good. All right, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون أخبرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكرون أَإِنَّا لَمُغْرَمُونَ بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم.
Beautiful, mashallah. You have such a unique recitation.
It's alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for having me, by the way.
It is such an honor
alhamdulillah.
To you for agreeing.
No, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. I'm just, honestly, I'll be honest for everyone. I'm no one special, okay? I'm just a sister that memorized the Quran. That's it. Sharing my journey. Nothing special at all.
May Allah bless you and achieve.
Ameen.
Made a beautiful dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with hearing
Ameen.
You. The highest paradise.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair.
With us, every person who wasn't and everyone we love, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us into the highest paradise and let us
Ameen.
Hearing your reach.
Ameen.
I'd like to take a class with you. Do you teach online?
Yes and no. It's kind of like I'm kind of like tight right now, but khair inshallah. Maybe I can make it work.
If they'd like to contact you, what's the best way?
Yeah, Instagram is great. Instagram. You can just add me on my page, inshallah. If you want to message me, if you need help, advice, you know, feel free to reach out, inshallah.
Spell out your name.
Oh, so it's SMIILE, number 4, and then now, NOW. So yeah, inshallah.
I'm just gonna like inshallah tag it right here.
Oh, sorry, I didn't spell it.
That's fine. I didn't ask you to. No, you just
okay.
Write it out.
Okay, perfect.
O W. Okay, just say that. So inshallah, if you can connect with her on Instagram, all your questions. Barakallahu fiki so much. It was such a blessing, such an honor to have you with us today.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for having me. And you know what? We'll keep in touch. Inshallah.
Thank you. I am Khadija. For some reason, my comment didn't go through, but jazakallah khair. And thank you so much for posting it. And inshallah, we'll continue to benefit from your reminders and your recitation. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless everyone who was with us today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum
wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Now I never know how to end, so we're just such a gift to have. I've had a lot without